The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and the Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, tokens and tokens, and welcome. It is Wednesday, June 5th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're on day three here of our whirlwind tour. We're in Denver, Colorado, actually Lakewood, Colorado, the western suburbs of Denver, at Arrow Red Studios, bringing you this live presentation where we're kind of focusing on Colorado and what's going on here, where it's become the first state, well, really the first political subdivision in the world to have a functional, legal, regulated marijuana market. Joining us on today's show at 1:30, we got Chloe Villano. She is with Cloverleaf Consulting. She's going to be with us to talk about these new recreational marijuana regulations in the state of Colorado. Also, speaking of Colorado, there's a lawsuit. We'll be talking about this in the 420 radio news, where the Colorado law calls for, or the regulations call for, High Times and other marijuana-centric magazines to be put behind the counter, like pornography. I met the attorney, David Lane, who is suing on First Amendment grounds on behalf of High Times, The Daily Doobie, and other magazines. They've been joined in their lawsuit by booksellers. So we'll talk about that First Amendment aspect in our 420 radio news. Also, in behind the headlines, we've got some news from across the pond over in the Netherlands, where the fight over coffee shops continues and whether or not they can be regulated against having tourists in them. That's the Dutch weed pass system that you've heard so much about. There's a big ruling that came down from The Hague today, very important for these coffee shop owners. We'll talk about that in behind the headlines. And also, we got time for a radical rant today. You've been reading about Mayor Bloomberg calling medical marijuana one of the great hoaxes of all times. I'm going to tell you some of his quotes. I'm going to rebut a lot of them. And I got a few things to say about people like Mayor Bloomberg, who are trying to get me to behave myself, to be healthy for my own good. Well, guess what? I choose what goes on in this body and mind, Mayor Bloomberg, not you. We'll get to that in the radical rant. Also, in hour two, we have got an amazing presentation from Paul Armentano, the deputy director of Normal, one of the leading experts on THC and impairment. He made this presentation at the Aspen Legal Seminar this last weekend on THC and impairment. Everything you want to know about urine tests and blood testing and nanograms per milliliter, this will come right from Paul Armentano, the latest science. You want to stay tuned in hour two to listen to that. Plus, Brian the Red's got our IRE Wednesday Daily Toker Tune coming up at 20 after. What else could you ask for? Sign up, become a VIP member.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We're going back
to San Francisco. That's right, everyone. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is returning to the Bay on June 22nd and 23rd. Come to the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California for a High Times celebration of the best weed in the world. Meet the top cannabis businesses of the Golden State. Hear experts discuss indoor and outdoor growing. Find out about cannabis cuisine. Learn about the exciting new world of concentrates. Enjoy a massive medication area reserved for California medical marijuana patients only. And don't forget our swinging Saturday night concert when the stars come out. But as everybody knows, it's all about the cannabis. On Sunday night, we present the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards for Best Sativa, Best Indica, Best Hybrid, Best Concentrate, Best Edibles, and more. Plus, we honor a living legend of the modern cannabis movement, San Francisco's own Dennis Perrone. That's June 22nd and 23rd at the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Andrea Sanderlin, suburban New York mom charged with running large marijuana business. That's from U.S. News and World Report. Divorced mother of three, Andrea Sanderlin, age 45, enjoyed horses and lived in a ritzy New York City suburb. But the government says she secretly ran a large-scale marijuana growing operation in Queens. Sanderlin's recent arrest invited comparisons to the plot of the longtime Showtime drama Weeds. Sanderlin was busted May 20th outside her alleged grow house in the New York City borough, inside a single-story warehouse. The DEA agents reportedly found close to 3,000 marijuana plants. Involved in the operation was Sanderlin's boyfriend, a fellow Scarsdale resident, and father to her three-year-old daughter. Another man ratted her out, informing authorities that a woman known as Andy brought the marijuana seedlings and cash in her Mercedes-Benz SUV. DE agents surveilled Sanderlin after inspecting her rented warehouse's Con Edison electric bill, which peaked at a whopping $9,000 per month, Newsday reports. In addition to her youngest child, she has a 13-year-old daughter and a 27-year-old son. Pot magazines equal to porn? Booksellers join magazines' lawsuit against new Colorado pot law, from the Huffington Post. Booksellers have joined the fight alongside marijuana magazines, challenging a new Colorado law which requires pot magazines to be treated like pornography and kept behind a counter at shops. This new lawsuit comes a week after three marijuana publications, the Daily Doobie, the Hemp Connoisseur, and High Times Magazine, filed suit to block a provision of Colorado's new marijuana legalization laws, which mandated that marijuana publications be sold only behind a counter in public retail stores, quote, where persons under 21 years of age are present, end quote. Denver free speech attorney David Lane argued that the provision specifically targets the publication's right to free speech and clashes with the primary idea behind Amendment 64 to, quote, regulate marijuana like alcohol, end quote. He continued, Amendment 64 was passed by Colorado voters who intended to regulate marijuana like alcohol, but publications whose primary focus is alcohol or alcohol businesses are not regulated or penalized the same way as plaintiffs' marijuana-focused publications, end quote. Pro-weed Democrats share positive stories about marijuana, from the Daily Caller. Five liberals in the House of Representatives stood outside the Capitol with representatives of the cannabis industry on Wednesday. Led by Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, the Democrats proposed changing the Internal Revenue Code to let medical and legal marijuana businesses take standard business deductions when computing their federal taxes every year. After hearing stories from patients, I will tell you, I will break my lifelong policy of not using it if I had overwhelming back pain, if I was dealing with nausea with chemotherapy, Blumenauer said. Democratic Representative Denny Heck of Washington went on to explain how his brother, a Vietnam veteran, used medical marijuana during over a decade-long battle with Hodgkin's disease and leukemia. Quote, it would be the only way in which he would find relief, end quote, Heck said. Similarly, Colorado Representative Earl Perlmutter said he doesn't smoke marijuana. Quote, but I had a brother-in-law with melanoma, which eventually became brain cancer, and the only thing that gave him any relief was medical marijuana. I just wanted to see the pain relief from that. End quote. Bill to lessen penalties for marijuana possession in Louisiana to get second vote after stalling, from NOLA.com. A bill that would reduce penalties for marijuana possession stalled on the Senate floor early Wednesday afternoon, but will get a second chance after lawmakers reconvene this afternoon. Because it's so late in the legislative session, State Representative Austin Bedore's bill needs to gather a two-thirds vote of the state senators to even be brought up for debate. On Wednesday morning, the bill by the New Orleans Democrat got just 20 votes, six short of what it needs. Under the current law, anyone convicted of possession of any amount of marijuana, even a single joint, can be jailed for up to 6 months. A repeat offender can be sentenced up to 5 years and face up to a $2,500 fine, with those convicted three or more times open to a 20-year jail sentence and up to $5,000 fine. Baden's bill would reduce the jail time to not more than 2 years for repeat offenders, 5 years for third-time offenders, and 8 years for those convicted four or more times. The maximum fine for possession would be lessened from $5,000 to $2,500. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the coffee shops in the Netherlands and a recent court decision regarding those businesses. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's an osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weak.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal. Because weed makes you stupid.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. But first, just a couple of updates here on 420radio.org. We've added a couple of new video chats to our chat menu. If you go up to the top menu on 420radio.org, look under chat, you'll find Grey Wolf's Den and the VIP Room, both tiny chat video chat rooms available for you for watching and sharing the show with others. Check those out right here at 420radio.org. Now, for behind the headlines today, I wanted to go across the pond to the Netherlands. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about the coffee shops in the Netherlands, and our opponents like to characterize recent political changes in the Netherlands as the community rebelling against legalized weed.
or at least tolerated weed, as in the Dutch coffee shops, people are allowed to possess and purchase up to 5 grams of cannabis, and it's tolerated. It's technically not legal, but the police tolerate it. They allow it to go on, for they fear it's easy. They feel that it's easier to deal with if it's in a organized, you know, location where we can check IDs and control the marijuana than open street dealing. Well, our opponents have been emboldened by a new conservative government in the Netherlands that has very Christian conservative leanings, that feels that marijuana use is bad. And they've been pointing to some problems related to cannabis use in the southern provinces of the Netherlands with respect to what they call drug tourism. That is, people coming from Germany and Belgium and other countries during the weekends, clogging up traffic, causing a lot of problems to be able to get marijuana and party. This has led to a creation of what was called a weed pass system, where you would have to have this pass to go into some of these coffee shops. And to get the pass, you had to be a Dutch citizen. So it was no tourists allowed, basically. The owners of the coffee shops rebelled against this, said this would be a big problem. It would lead to more street dealing, more problems than the coffee shops themselves. The coffee shops in Amsterdam, in the north of the Netherlands, didn't go along with the weed pass system at all. They rejected it. The government of the Netherlands kind of gave them a city-by-city basis. They could decide how they wanted to proceed with this. Well, now there is news coming out of The Hague, the court in the Netherlands, their Supreme Court, basically, where the state has been ordered to compensate some of these cannabis cafe owners for their lost income. This is from Dutch News in the Netherlands. They says the government should pay damages to cannabis cafe owners in the south of the country who lost income when the government forced them to become members-only clubs, a court in The Hague has ruled. The government had hoped by turning the cafes into clubs, drug tourism would be reduced because only people who officially live in the Netherlands would be able to join. The club rule operated in the southern provinces between May 1st and November 19th of last year when it was abandoned. Cafe owners said they had lost up to 90% of their clientele because of the new rules. Now, a second court procedure will determine how much compensation should be paid, The Hague also said in its ruling. Another thing interesting in this ruling is that the court did not actually say it was against their rules or against their laws to ban tourists from coming to the coffee shops. They are just saying that if you did, basically, if you use this weed pass system, you have to basically reimburse these guys for their lost income. BBC News reports on this as well, and they refer to it as a symbolic blow to those who have fought to tighten the Netherlands' traditionally liberal approach to soft drugs. They also note that there are about 700 coffee shops in the Netherlands. And another related story coming out of Raw Story, Dutch coffee shops in open revolt of ban on selling cannabis to foreigners. And this is talking about how the authorities in the Netherlands, in the southern city of Maastricht, are striking back after cannabis cafes staged an open revolt by selling marijuana to foreigners. They were ignoring the weed pass system. And basically, this is the Maastricht Coffee Shop Association. There's 13 of the 14 coffee shops in the city are part of this association, which goes by the initials VOCM in their language. So the VOCM coffee shops were openly selling to foreigners. So the authorities now, geographically, when we're talking about Maastricht, it's in the southern part, kind of the southern end of the Netherlands, and Belgium's on one side and Germany's on the other. And so we get a lot of tourists that come across to Maastricht here. Now, there was a court ruling on April 25th that ruled that a shop called The Easy Going had to be shut down. A court ruling overturned that. And after April 25th of this year, these coffee shops just, you know, went nuts. They went ahead and opened up and started selling to the tourists again. So this has led to the authorities to crack down. There's been police raids and seizures and closure orders and prosecutions. There was busts at 4 coffee shops last weekend. And now this report from a Raw Story dated today says all 13 of the VOCM member coffee shops in Maastricht have now shut down shop. Before they were shut down, the VOCM members said they did not want to discriminate and indeed would lose too much business by complying with the law, since foreigners account for 65% of their clientele. Head of VOCM Mark Joseman said, quote, "If governments in neighboring countries took responsibility in terms of soft drugs, none of this would be necessary." And of course, this has slashed the number of drug tourists, so-called drug tourists coming from Maastricht, from 1.5 million to 400,000 per year. But the illegal street dealers are taking up the slack. The VOCM says the number of street dealers has gone up. All right, and it is officially 420 here in the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado, where I feel like taking a perfectly legal break. I hope you can join me.
Go right ahead, Russ.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
Have you ever seen a news story like this?
When shit hits the fan, I never really thought about it before, but, you know, it's kind of sudden and violent, and that's kind of what happened this week.
What about the children?
But, you know, I just wanted to say fuck you guys very much for judging me. You know, for using a plant to do whatever, it's none of your damn business. I don't ask you why you drink your face off. Okay? But the deal is, I harmed no child.
Your one-room schoolhouse of choice. Your one-stop freedom shop. It's the Libra Lounge.
And remember, kids, as always, do your fucking homework.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, feeling pretty good at 20 after the hour here in Colorado, where marijuana is legal. At least possession of this little bit of marijuana is legal. It's a great place to be. A little overcast today, but we're feeling good. Continuing day three of our four-day excursion here in Denver, Colorado. On Friday, I will be in Fort Worth, Texas, and you will actually be getting me coming to you live from Froggies, a place called Froggies of all places, where they will be doing the live art and music reception for the Texas Regional Normal Conference for Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. So there'll be bands playing behind me. We'll get to speak with a lot of the gathered VIPs that will be speaking there at the conference. So tune in live on Friday for the Russ Belville Show and Toker Talk Radio, where I'll be coming to you from Fort Worth, where I'm actually emceeing the event. So people might be listening to the show live too. So we're going to have ourselves a real good time. Also on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have, as best I can bring you, live coverage of the Texas Regional Normal Conference. I'm going to say I think we can get the audio to you. That's as much as I'm going to commit to. We'll at least get some audio to you. If we've got landline internet, We'll try for video. We'll see what we can do. But we're doing everything we can here at 420 Radio. We're about to get some new capital investments as well to get some remote gear and wireless microphones to bring you an even better experience. Thanks to all the VIPs who sign up here on 420radio.org. All right, that's enough for me. It's Ivy Wednesday, so you know that means we turn things over to Brian the Red, who's the host of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback tonight at 8 p.m.
Actually,
Brian, what's on tap?
I think actually tonight I'm going to take a little break. I had a long weekend there, so I wasn't able to put together the show of the caliber that I would like. So next week, we're going to come at you with 2 hours of Red Eyes Reggae Flashback, a birthday special. So
fantastic.
Coming up next year, though, we've got a tune that I played on the last live flashback. This is Shaka Man with Another Wake Up Call. I hope you all enjoy it. Time to get a little irie and wake up, y'all.
They got us so all confused, but I'm tired of the pain that we're pressing it down each and every day. For some people, woe is part of their life, part of their DNA. Look at how we're heading for a serious confrontation. Can't find no love at all for a brother man. This wicked oblivion, yeah. And there's no stepping, there's no stop from beyond. Another wake up call in a Babylon, boy. Got to set up past the Mount Zion. Another wake up call from the Iron Man, boy. Can't afford to be tricked by Babylon. Another wake up call in a Babylon, boy. Can't be fooled by the gifts of the serpent. Another wake up.
Shakespearean Theatre.
I'm your host, Leonard Pinth Garnell III. Tonight we take a look at one of the finest works in the cannabis cinema, 1996's Half-Baked, starring David Chappelle, as interpreted by the Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company. In this scene, Chappelle's character, Thurgood Marshall, has just admitted his addiction to cannabis to a room full of narcotics addicts. One addict, played in the film by Robert Saget, and interpreted here by the Royal Company's Sir Frederick Farrakh, takes umbrage at the suggestion.
I find preposterous the notion that you, sir, may be addicted to cannabis. In times previous, I have undertaken lubricious endeavors, most revolting and unbecoming of a proper gentleman, in my servitude to the wicked powder of the coca leaf. Lo, that is an addiction whose chains would bind Hercules. At any point in history, could one identify a moment in your life so sullied by your ignominy as a cannabis slave? Methinks not! Boo this man!
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinth Garnell III.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. Next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we are reaching out to Chloe Villano, who is the CEO of Cloverleaf Consulting. Chloe, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just right on time with the dial there. Thanks for joining us on our Denver episodes. And this is a very fortuitous that we get to speak to you because we are going to discuss these new regulations, these brand new regulations for the Colorado recreational marijuana industry. You know, there's a lot of people listening who might want to open up a pot shop. What would they have to do?
Well, it depends. I mean, right now we have, of course, we're medical marijuana centers, but we're going into recreational marijuana centers. So by October 1st, we will be able to apply. The current medical marijuana businesses will be the first who will be able to apply for recreational licenses.
All right. So they get
the country. That's awesome.
First come, first serve for the recreational. Is there an upper limit on how many of these recreational stores there will be? And could all the medical ones take all of those slots?
Well, it depends. I mean, some of these medical marijuana centers are in counties that are, you know, could possibly ban recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. So they might be forced to stay medical. They're also going to be allowed to use, you know, their same facilities if they want to. They just have to have separate exits and entrances, and it will be like building out, you know, a whole new store on the same premises.
Really? So if someone was in Denver and they're already a medical outlet and they want to also be a recreational outlet, there have to be two different exits and entrances?
Yeah, it's going to basically be two different stores. It's going to be tough because you're going to have two different regulations to follow.
Wow, that's going to, I imagine that makes it very difficult on the store owners to try to be in compliance.
It makes it really, I mean, it makes it hard financially. And that's why I think a lot of them say, well, you know, they're already growing for themselves. So if they do want to build another store, you know, the plants will just turn recreational. So it might be affordable for people, especially since they had to build out with the vertically integrated system. A lot of people have more areas.
Now, that vertical integration may be something that people don't quite understand what happened with Colorado. What does that mean?
Vertical integration basically is where a medical marijuana center grows 70% of everything that it retails itself. And currently we have 9 more months of that system, and it's required. So you can't do one without the other, which is kind of financially hard to get into the business because you have to have 2 different locations. You know, it's like having 2 different parts of your business.
You know, and speaking to people, Yeah.
In general, you know.
Exactly. And then speaking with some of the people I know in Colorado who had been growers and caregivers previously, I've heard a lot of negative comments. They say there's just no way the little guy can be a part of this. And you say this is ending in 9 months. Is there something around the horizon here that's going to allow smaller time growers to be a part of this system?
Well, I would say so, because in 9 months, as long as they haven't gotten a felony for previously growing, then they would be able to, you know, be just a wholesale location that would sell to recreational or retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it works. I mean, I'm not sure. I think there is going to be a plant limit for how much those cultivation facilities can grow. But on July 1st, the state, which is the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division, soon to just be the Marijuana Enforcement Division, will implement an emergency set of state rules. And then we'll know what we're allowed to do and what we're not.
Hmm. Chloe, what about that rule that you mentioned? People that have felonies for prior growing can't be a part of that. It seems like it almost excludes the people who would be the best people in that field.
You know, it definitely does. It's rough, because they do want you to be residents, and they don't want you to have serious, you know, drug felonies. They don't want you to have bad moral character, but you know, some people did make mistakes when they were younger, and it's still rough. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to get in the business if you are.
Yeah, mistakes that are legal now. They're not even really mistakes. We're speaking with Chloe Villano from Cloverleaf Consulting, and I noticed up on your website that you've got a symposium coming up on June 20th that it sounds to me like this would be something people would want to go to get a lot of the detail that we can't get in 15 minutes. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it's going to start at 6 p.m. The panel starts at 7. It's at Castleman's at 26th and Walnut in downtown Denver. And it's going to have an elite attorney panel discussing the transformation process from medical marijuana to recreational, and what the timelines and what it's going to take to basically get into the business or transfer your current business to recreational. We're also going to have a hemp panel as well. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can get into the hemp industry and the different opportunities there as well.
All right. Looks good. It's you can find this information up at yourmmjinfo.com. Y-O-U-R, yourmmjinfo.com. We're speaking with Chloe Villano, who's the CEO of Cloverleaf Consulting, and so much to consult on now with all these new regulations. We did a story in our headlines today about the lawsuit regarding this part of the Colorado regulations that say High Times has to be put behind the counter. Are there any other surprises in these regulations that you want to alert our listeners to that might need to be challenged?
I mean, there's a lot that I think is definitely going to be challenged as far as even on-site consumption. You know, they don't want really bars, mm-hmm, or any place for people to socialize. They just, you know, you're allowed to buy it, but you kind of have to go home and smoke it where no one can see you. So I think that as we grow, I mean, we have to be realistic as well. A million people, you know, voted for a million more people voted for this than voted for Obama. And that's a huge number. And that means that if we're going to regulate it like alcohol, then we would have somewhere to go and socialize. So I think as the industry grows and as people realize it's not a bad thing, that we'll tackle some of those issues. But to be honest with you, Russ, I mean, as these state laws come out, I never thought they were going to be able to, you know, enact 2-year residencies or say that felons who, you know, had a felony over 10 years ago that couldn't be in the industry. So we don't know what they're going to say.
Mm. Yeah.
But it could be anything.
Yeah, that part you mentioned about, you know, not having a place to socialize. All right, you can have your weed, but by God, go off in the corner and we don't want to see you or hear you, you know. That seems to be an aspect of this that is kind of frightening to me. And it's been brought to light by, you know, just as soon as 64 passed and went into effect, we had these Club 64s and these pot clubs, these social clubs opening up under the premise that, hey, it's a private place. We are allowed to have cannabis. Nothing says we can't freely assemble under the First Amendment. So what are these regulations doing specifically to try to shut that down?
Well, basically, they've been active, you know, they don't want consumption on licensed premises. And they did this with medical marijuana as well. So that way, you know, if you are at a dispensary, it's not like you could smoke on any premises. But they also have a Clean Air Act in Colorado which is kind of tricky because it's for an indoor and outdoor. And, you know, basically they added medical marijuana and now recreational marijuana to the Clean Air Act as well. So I think that was kind of their way of saying no bars, no consumption. However, of course, private membership clubs are available. And, you know, that's pretty much the only way that you can get together now is to be part of one of those private membership clubs until the laws do change.
You know, another aspect of this for businesses is in some of these regulations that they put forth that there's limitations on, you know, who can work at the business, where it can be located. Is there advertising restrictions that the businesses need to know about? Some of those sort of figures.
There are. They don't want you to advertise on public websites, on places where, you know, they're just open to the general public, where people who are under 18 or, you know, it could be vulnerable to children or even young adults, you know, who are under 18, in their late teens. They don't want any public advertising on sites like that. So it does limit it a little bit to how you can advertise. And they've already stopped, you know, a lot of the ground advertising. You can't have people out front with signs and things like that. But, and they're going to treat magazines, you know, cannabis magazines as if they're porn magazines. So you basically have to keep them behind the counter. But that's rough because look at the Hemp Connoisseur. It's full of knowledge and education. It's nothing like a porn magazine. I mean, it's not even nug porn. You know?
It's true.
So
I got to meet David Lane, the attorney who is on that case, who's working that case as a First Amendment case. And he's even doubting it's going to go to trial because it's such a blatant First Amendment violation. We're talking about the content of these magazines that's not in any way obscene or, in Colorado, illegal. I mean, how ridiculous would it be that the 7-Eleven in Mississippi can show this on the High Times on the counter, you know, but not in Colorado? Come on, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. And I do know it's being challenged, and that's a great attorney to have on the case. And I think it's going to go really well. I mean, a lot of this stuff, just this is the first time it's ever happened. So we just have to fight it and see what happens. But if we don't fight it, then that's what we're stuck with.
Now, of course, everybody's worried about the other shoe dropping with respect to the federal government, Eric Holder, Department of Justice. I mean, they do have their hands full these days, but who knows what's going to happen? Do you get any indication that there might be tactics that were used in the medical marijuana crackdown in Colorado and California, such as the landlord letters, for example, the threats of eviction and so forth, and seizures with respect to this new recreational law?
You know, the feds have been very quiet, and that so far has, you know, a lot of people say that's spoken loudly. A lot of people aren't sure, you know, they want to make sure they're following all rules, you know, state rules legally. And a lot of people just don't understand how they could be doing something illegal that would even constitute them, you know, being raided or something like that, because there is so many patients and so many sick people that a lot of these aficionados are helping. And because of these rules, you know, being the first one, they've been really hard to follow. They've changed constantly and they've cost a lot of money. And so I think that, you know, most of these dispensary owners have put everything they've had into keeping them as compliant and keeping the feds as happy as possible. And, you know, they have, like I said, they're not really saying anything. So in a lot of ways that can be good, but we just hope that they see it the same way we do.
Well, we hope so too. We hope that, you know, making good faith efforts to regulate this and do keep it safe for everyone is going to weigh well in our favor. We hope so. Chloe Villano is the CEO of Cloverleaf Consulting at yourmmjinfo.com. Got a great seminar coming up here on June 20th. Chloe, is there other ways, website info or phone numbers or emails you'd like to give out before we let you go?
Yeah, you can check out our new school at cloverleafuniversity.com. We're actually we just put 16 standalone courses through the Department of Education and 4 certified programs. So we are going to be doing some amazing training with some of the best industry growers in the world here. So definitely look up that website.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show.
Thank you.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The greatest threats to liberty has been the government taking people's liberty for things that people are in favor of. The Pew Research Group shows that 52% of Americans think marijuana should not be illegal. And yet there are people in jail, and your Justice Department is continuing to put people in jail for sale and use, on occasion, of marijuana. That's something the American public has finally caught up with. It was a cultural lag, and it's been an injustice for 40 years in this country to take people's liberty for something that was similar to alcohol. You have continued what is allowing the Mexican cartels power and the power to make money, ruin Mexico, hurt our country by having a prohibition in the late 20th and 21st century. We saw it didn't work in this country in the 20s. We remedied it. This is the time to remedy this prohibition. And I would hope you would do.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Oh, boy. I got to take a little bit of time here to talk about Mayor Bloomberg of New York City. First, he comes after my 64-ounce sodas, and now this. Recently, this was Friday, he was on WR Radio talking about marijuana legalization, saying the campaign for legalization was wrong-headed. And the quote here, medical, my, come on, there's no medical. This is one of the great hoaxes of all time, end quote. And it's just remarkable to have a sitting mayor in the largest city in America so blithely ignorant, so willingly ignorant. You can't make a statement like that any longer without, you know, purposefully trying to be ignorant in this situation. If the statement was couched in context of medical marijuana programs, medical marijuana states, maybe there's an argument to be made. But to deny that there's a medical benefit to cannabis is to just be a horse's ass. There's just no way around this. And particularly ironic when you consider that Bloomberg here, who's trying to, you know, just make sure he's doing it for our own good, you know, make sure that we're all healthy for our own good, make sure we do the right things, right? Wanted to ban the large sodas because of the obesity epidemic, right? We want to ban the large sodas because, you know, so much sugar and diabetes and healthcare costs. And we just had a study that showed cannabis helps to fight against diabetes, helps to regulate insulin levels, and people that use it have lower waist ratios than people that don't, even though they consume more calories, including giant sodas. So I found that kind of ironic. Some other things Bloomberg said here, it's just, you know, it's a Reefer Madness greatest hits. And this is a guy who smoked pot. He was confronted by Normal when he first ran, when he first became mayor, you know, did you smoke marijuana? He said, you bet I did, and I enjoyed it. How many more of these pot-smoking hypocrites in high office, Barack Obama, do we have to hear from to tell us that we should be punished or we're somehow wrong or we're somehow addicted or sick or ill or in need of rehabilitation? Just because we like to use cannabis, we like to smoke pot, eat a cookie, vaporize a bud, dab a little bit from time to time to time. Why does that demand the federal government getting into our business and forcing us to be healthy for our own good? They're not forcing the smokers to be healthy for their own good. They're not forcing the drinkers to be healthy for their own good. Now, I know on the smoker thing, they've limited a lot of that as well, as far as where you can smoke and so forth. just click the little window and it'll go away. So, yeah, if you let me get back to Bloomberg. I got a little distracted here for a second. Here was another line from Bloomberg. But the bottom line is, I'm told marijuana is much stronger today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. I don't have any personal experience in terms of today. So that's one problem. Yeah, I agree, Mayor Bloomberg. It is one problem you have no personal experience today. Light some up. You know, these guys that say, oh my God, it's so much stronger. All right. Try it. Prove it. If it's so much stronger, why can't we at least legalize the pot you smoked back in the day? Wouldn't that be okay? See, they don't seem to think that what they did back in the day, back when they were in college, when they were coming up through the 60s and 70s, was any sort of thing that stopped them from becoming a billionaire, Mayor Bloomberg, or a president, Mr. Obama, or the greatest decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps. These people do just fine under their marijuana use, and to continue to treat us differently is to continue to discriminate against us. And this is nothing but discriminatory statements. The marijuana is much stronger today. So that means we should discriminate against people who use it? You know, the beer is much stronger today. Used to be you could only get 3-2 beer and Miller and Coors, right? Now you got some of these microbreweries put out these strong super porter ales or whatever the hell they're called. I don't know alcohol, but that are much stronger, much more potent alcohol content than, yes, your father's Woodstock beer. I get so tired of that. It's stronger so much as being a reason to discriminate against us. But if that wasn't bad enough, this next one from Mayor Bloomberg, this is the one that reveals the entire strategy, the entire agenda of these people. I'll just read you the quote first. And number two, drug dealers have families to feed. If they can't sell marijuana, they'll sell something else. And the something else is going to be worse. And the push to legalize this is just wrongheaded. End quote. Drug dealers have families to feed. If they can't sell marijuana, they'll sell something else, and something else will be worse, so we've got to let them sell marijuana. It's a jobs program. It's harm reduction for criminal enterprises. We've got to give marijuana to the criminals to sell, or they'll sell harder stuff. They're openly admitting that we arrest 750,000 people a year, 50,000 of them in New York City alone. We do this to make sure drug dealers have something safer to sell. That's the mayor of New York City openly admitting if they can't sell marijuana, they'll sell something else that's going to be worse. It's a harm reduction program for drug dealers. But here's the problem with that little analogy, Mayor Bloomberg. Who's going to buy the something else? I smoke pot and I like it a lot. Not so crazy about the meth. Not so happy about the cocaine. If we take the marijuana market away from the local dealer, whoever the guy is, and the guy comes around with coke or meth, who's he going to sell it to? There are 26, 27 million marijuana smokers in America. There are about 3 to 4 million users of all other illicit drugs combined. Who are they going to sell it to, Mayor Bloomberg? So ridiculous. They think that that drugs are just a substitute of good, that, well, if I can't get pot, I guess I'll do heroin. Gosh, the pot moved into the pot stores, and now that the pot is legal, I'm going to go buy heroin from the illegal drug dealer rather than go get the pot I like at the legal store. In what twisted Bloombergian fantasy does this make any sense whatsoever? Here's another little Bloomberg gem. Quote, but they say, oh, well, it's not going to hurt anybody. It doesn't lead to dependency. Of course it does. And you can argue about recreational things, but it's a very slippery path. A very slippery path. Do you know how many people I've seen slip away from opioids because of their use of cannabis? Their medical use? How many people who have been able to kick hard drugs because of their medical use of cannabis? If it's a slippery path, it's a slippery path away from pharmaceuticals that are probably in your stock portfolio, Mayor Bloomberg. Now, opposing the mayor's views, this is a story off of CBS News. They bring up the New England Journal of Medicine poll on May 30th that showed 76%, 3 out of 4 international doctors surveyed agreed with the use of medical marijuana. 3 out of 4 doctors surveyed. Remember those old commercials? 3 out of 4 doctors recommend whatever. Yes, 3 out of 4 international doctors recommend the use of medical marijuana. There's a hypothetical case of a woman with metastatic breast cancer, and 3/4 said they would have prescribed her medical marijuana. Got 19 states. We got the District of Columbia that allow people to use medical marijuana. We got Washington and Colorado that allow people like me to just use marijuana. No excuse necessary. The Pew Research poll has shown in America that we're at 52% of Americans believing that marijuana ought to just be legalized. We've got 48% of the American people who have admitted to have used marijuana themselves, admitted to an anonymous pollster calling on the telephone representing the federal government asking if they've ever broken state and federal laws regarding contraband. And 48% of Americans agree, yes, I broke that state and federal law. I broke that law and I used marijuana. There's got to be more than 48% people. That's all I'm saying. And this is increasing in every generation. Even the silent generation, those people between Great Depression, World War II, you know, your Bloomberg age people, even them, it's gone from 17% support for legalization in 2002 to 32% support in this March 2013 survey. Almost double the support in the span of a decade amongst the greatest that silent generation, that Great Depression, World War II people. So it's just inevitable. Bloomberg is on the wrong side of history on this one. And it's just, it's sad to watch this, especially as people, you know, continue to disregard all of the, what are the true hoaxes? The gateway drug, it's a slippery slope. Really, Mayor Bloomberg? It's a slippery slope away to the dependency. You are not in agreement with the people. The poll, the most recent poll that asked about this, said 51%, I'm sorry, only 38% of the people believe that pot is a gateway drug leading to the use of hard drugs. Only 32%, less than a third of Americans now, believe there's something morally wrong with smoking pot. But this is the typical Bloomberg, and you get this on the hard left, on the liberal side, of wanting to use government to take care of us, to do something for our own good. Force us to be healthy for our own good. And a lot of us in the pot smoking community didn't really pay much attention to this when it was being employed against cigarette smokers. In fact, we kind of agreed with it. Some of us, we didn't like the cigarette smokers, and yay, we've got smoke-free bars to watch bands, and yay, the smokers can't be contaminating up the rooms, and yay, they have to go outside. And now they're coming for us, and it's going to be the same sort of situation. Talking with Chloe Villano, talking about how regulation is turning out to be now, well, no social clubs, no socializing, because we allowed this stigmatization to take place regarding smoke in general. Smoke like tobacco smoke is being allowed to be used against us by people like Mayor Bloomberg, like people like Governor Hickenlooper here, that want to just shove us back in the closet for our own good, for the children's sake, whatever excuse it might be. And we're not going to stand for it any longer. We deserve the same rights as beer drinkers. We deserve the same rights as cigarette smokers. We shouldn't be forced into our homes with the curtains drawn, out of public view. We deserve to have our festivals like the beer festivals. We deserve to have our stores like the cigar stores. We deserve those same rights, and we're not stop until we get them. We're beginning to get them here in Colorado, beginning to get them in the state of Washington, and we're going to continue to do this to all 48 states. And I'm going to be touring across 6 or 7 of them this summer. Check me out coming out this weekend to the Texas Regional Normal Conference. You can find out more at dfwnormal.org. Get the information on the Texas Regional Conference. I'm doing 2 presentations and emceeing at 3 events, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll do the 420 radio drug test. We'll also do some live broadcasts there from Froggies in Fort Worth, Texas. And then the following week, it's the tour with the FNAs. Check out rad-r.us/420tour for all the information. Wow, the hour went fast. Thanks for joining us here in Lakewood, Colorado at Arrowhead Studios. Stay tuned. Hour two comes up next with Paul Armentano, the leading expert on THC and impairment. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.